KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 27 degrees, and we look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 54. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. On Veterans Day Friday, Senator Joni Ernst raised concerns about how the Veterans Administration is responding to whistleblowers.
We do have to be vigilant in this oversight, and it quite literally is a matter of life and death.
The VA's Office of Inspector General operates a hotline to field complaints from VA staff and veterans, but Ernst says it's unclear whether the agency is reviewing those complaints quickly enough.
All too many times in the past, there has not been the follow-up necessary. And those months' delay could mean another veteran that has been left untreated, or another veteran that takes their own life because of the lack of care provided by the VA.
Ernst is asking officials for an update on the case of Brandon Ketchum of Bettendorf, a 33-year-old veteran who committed suicide in July. Ketchum did tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan and suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. He wrote on his Facebook page hours before he took his life that he'd asked to be admitted to the VA Medical Center in Iowa City, but was sent home with medication. Ernst provided three Iowa veterans with the medals they earned for service in times of war yesterday, but did not yet receive. One ceremony was held in Marshalltown for a Vietnam veteran and veteran of World War II. Another ceremony was held in Ankeny to award the Bronze Star and other medals to a Vietnam veteran. Ernst had held similar ceremonies this past week in Lenox, Newton, and Cedar Rapids to present medals to veterans. The new Republican-controlled Senate has elected leaders for the next 2 years. Members of the chamber met privately Friday at the Iowa Capitol and selected Senator Bill Dix as majority leader and Senator Jack Whitfer as president. The selections will be official in January when the legislative session begins. The Senate has been controlled by Democrats since 2007, while since 2011 the Republicans have held a majority in the House. Republicans flipped six Senate seats in Tuesday's election and now have a 29-19 majority. There is one independent and one open seat. Dix of Shell Rock replaces Mike Gronsdahl. The Council Bluffs Democrat was majority leader for the past decade but lost his re-election bid on Tuesday. Whitfer, who's from Ankeny, replaces Senator Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque. Hundreds of protesters angry about Donald Trump's presidential win blocked Interstate 80 in Iowa City for about a half an hour, backing up traffic for miles Friday. The protests began Friday afternoon when about 200 high school students walked out of class and held a rally on the University of Iowa campus, dubbed a Not My America protest. University students joined the protest and listened to speeches before marching through downtown and down Dubuque Street toward the freeway. Protesters walked out onto I-80 at around 5 p.m. Iowa City police and state troopers held back traffic but didn't intervene in the protests. Protesters dispersed after about a half an hour later and walked toward the downtown area. The protest caused huge traffic snarls on the freeway and on Dubuque Street. A late absentee ballot splits a tie vote and will likely prompt officials to dissolve the tiny southeast Iowa city of Mount Union. The city council had voted in May to dissolve the town, and former city clerk Linda Johnson filed a petition seeking a referendum on the matter. Iowa law stipulates that votes on ballot measures that end with a tie result in the measure failing, which appeared to be the case in Mount Union until the absentee ballot arrived on Wednesday. Mayor John Merrick said the result is bittersweet for the community of about 100 residents. The State City Board of Development must approve the dissolution, and it cannot do that until all city property is sold and all city debt is paid. Well, this past week has been an emotional one for those who work in Iowa's law enforcement community as well as their families. A funeral was held in West Des Moines on Monday for Des Moines Police Sergeant Anthony Bominio, who was shot to death in his squad car November 2nd as he responded to the ambush of Urbandale police officer Justin Martin. Martin's funeral was held this past Tuesday in his hometown of Rockwell City. Randy Martin, Justin's father, was shocked by the outpouring of support from the community and from all across the nation.
And I'm hoping maybe with these two senseless deaths that maybe some people will stop shooting each other and we'll get peace.
After Tuesday's funeral, it took nearly an hour to make the 3-mile trip to Rose Hill Cemetery in Rockwell City due to the long line of law enforcement vehicles from all over the country.
When he went to the academy, they talked about, you are now part of a blue family, and I know what that means now.
Randy Martin is a principal at the school his late son attended. He and his wife asked that this week's funeral be a celebration of life service. A fellow policeman who was a childhood friend of Martin's spoke for the family during the funeral. He called the slain officer a hero and a kind-hearted gentle giant. The parents of a 14-year-old girl who texted suggestive pictures of herself to a boy have filed a lawsuit against the Marion County Attorney's Office. The case stems from a sexting investigation earlier this year at Knoxville High School, where students were found to be circulating nude photos of other students. The parents who filed the suit say the two photos involving their daughter don't show any nudity. ACLU of Iowa legal director Rita Bettis calls this a case of free speech and expression.
Second, as a policy matter, we also believe that it truly defies common sense to threaten to put a child in jail or prison or place her on the sex offender registry for taking photos of herself.
According to the family, Marion County Attorney Ed Bull threatened the girl with sexual exploitation charges, but said she could avoid prosecution by signing an admission of guilt, attend classes and on the danger of sexting, and complete community service. In the ACLU lawsuit, the girl is identified only as Nancy Doe.
In the end, Nancy Doe hasn't even engaged in behavior that is a crime. And we believe that the county attorney's response to her behavior violates hers and her parents' rights.
Court documents show in one of the photographs the girl is seen wearing a sports bra and shorts. In the other, she's in shorts with her hair covering her breasts. Bettis said she believes Bull is victim-blaming.
And I think that there is a lot of sex-based stereotyping going on. I think that there is a lot of shaming of these youngsters for what is normal developmental behavior. And I think that it's highly inappropriate, and I also think it's unlawful.
Bettis added that it should be the parents' job to raise their daughter, not the county attorney's. The parents of the girl are not seeking a monetary reward or damages. They only ask that the threats of prosecution be dropped.
This is about parents who feel like they have no choice but to try to protect their daughter from what is a really terrifying threat of criminal prosecution.
Marion County Attorney Ed Bull has not responded to requests for comments on the case and the lawsuit. The Midwest premiere of a new comedy called A Nice Family Christmas was held last night in Webster City. Playwright Phil Olson, who lives in Los Angeles, wrote the series of Don't Hug Me musicals that follow the lives of oddball characters in fictional Bunsen Bay, Minnesota. Olson said the new Christmas play was tested in Webster City last February before a live audience.
There's just nothing better for a playwright than to have that kind of a great response. That's the greatest time. And then the notes are good. I'd make rewrites on it based on things that I need to change and fix, but it was spectacular, the response. It was like a sitcom laugh track. I've never seen that before.
Olson is a national award-winning playwright with 14 published plays that have been performed in more than 300 cities across the U.S. and Canada. Olson is an Edina, Minnesota native and says the new comedy is loosely based on real life and experiences with his own family on Christmas Eve.
I wrote this one, many, many years ago. We were home for Christmas, and my mother announced that, or it was discovered that she had cancer. And so I kind of wrote this for my mom.
The play also debuted in Los Angeles last night. It'll be performed on stage this weekend and next weekend at the Webster City Community Theater. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.